This is Radio Equal Shot with your host, Alex Smith.
You probably never experienced water stress for more than an hour or two. Thirsty? Enjoy a cold glass of drinking water. Worried about disease? Wash your hands. Except in Africa, the United Nations reports hundreds of millions of people can't find enough water to do either one. Water insecurity means personal hardship for men, women, and children. Lack of water can lead to civil unrest, mass migration, wars, and diseases that spread to every continent. Yes, we do need to know and to care. How big is water scarcity on Earth's second largest continent? We barely know. The best picture so far just came out in the March 2022 report, Water Security in Africa, a Preliminary Assessment. We reached one of the co-authors, Dr. Duminda Pereira. A civil engineer from Sri Lanka, Pereira earned his doctorate in urban and environmental engineering at Kyushu University in Japan. Now he is senior researcher for hydrology and water resources at the United Nations University and adjunct professor at both University of Ottawa and McMaster University. From Canada, Duminda Pereira, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
Your international team finds almost a third of people in Africa do not have basic drinking water service. How do you define that?
Yeah, actually, it is the finding is surprising. It's nearly one-third of African region. People doesn't have drinking water. Actually, this is the limited water supply. It includes the water availability at their premises, or whether if they can collect water from within 30 minutes round trip. We consider those two aspects when we calculate or estimate the water availability for drinking, and then it came out that it's one-third of Africa doesn't have enough drinking water.
Right. Africa is huge, though, with water situations as different as the Sahara Desert and the wet Congo rainforest. How did your team tackle the water problem over such a wide range?
We separated Africa into sub-regions like North Africa, East, West, Central, and Southern Africa. So in our assessment, we assess countries individually and sub-region level. We have developed 10 indicators. If I name them, access to drinking water, access to sanitation, hygiene and health, water availability, efficiency of water use, water infrastructure, water quality, water governance, water disaster risk, and physiography. Based on those 10 indicators, we rank them from 0 to 100. And then again, we classify them into five categories. I can say the categories: emerging, if the score is less than 45, it is emerging. That means very low water security overall. And then slight is the next stage. It is 45 to 60. It is slight. And the modest is from 60 to 75 is a modest level of water security. 75 to 90 is the effective, and above 90 we classify it as model. Unfortunately, we couldn't find any country in the region above score above 70. That means no effective or model country in the region. The top scorer is Egypt. It is close to 70 score. That is the highest. And then followed by Botswana, Gabon, Mauritius, Tunisia. They are the top five countries in the region in the modest level of water security. In the least modest water security, I can name the three countries. They are Somalia, Chad, and Niger. Their score is very low. In overall, there are 13 countries in the modest level of water security, and 22 countries are in the slight water security stage, and 19 countries are least water security.
So there are 19 countries in Africa where water availability and sanitation are really in an emergency state pretty well every year?
We started from the data availability. Based on the data availability, our benchmark year is 2015, and we assess the progress between 2015 to 2020, and the research shows that only 29 countries show a little bit progress, not a big progress, like slight progress within this 5 years' time, and 25 countries has no progress. In overall, 29 countries has slight progress, 25 countries has no progress within this 5 year time.
And that's despite all the development goals that were set out in various conferences and people talked about it, and still no progress in so many countries. Sadly, many people in North America imagine Africans still live in a jungle or a desert oasis. The reality is about 50% of Africans live in urban areas, including very large cities. We recall Zero Day, the day when Cape Town, South Africa expected to run out of water. Talk to us about water scarcity in African cities.
In our assessment, we did not focus on big cities. We did the overall country level, national level assessment. Of course, I understood that in local level, big cities are located all over Africa with huge populations, and their sanitation and the access to the drinking water is very low. Especially the shocking that our indicator 2, it comes for the health sanitation. Sanitation overall in Africa is very low. Hand washing facilities are very limited, irrespective of the region, except North America and some of the countries in Southern America. Overall, it is very low. Then you can imagine in the national level, it is very low. And in the urban centers, it should be more stressful or high insecure because of the large population.
This new UN University assessment just out for World Water Day 2022 says, quote, "The overall low state of provision of personal and communal hygiene services in Africa is a major water security problem in the context of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and its deadly effects." Talk to us about that, Duminda.
This situation definitely intensified the COVID-19 because in our assessment, it shows the hand washing facilities, which is recommended by WHO for as a preventive measure of COVID. But in Africa, hand washing facilities is very low. Sanitation services are very low level. So definitely there should be a very significant impact on that one to the COVID-19 spread and their remediation measures.
You have expertise in large storage methods for water. Why don't water-stressed African countries build more dams to store the water when it is available?
We did an assessment previously about water storage in different countries. In that assessment also, we found Africa has a very limited water storage. Unfortunately, in Africa, there are some countries, they're having a lot of water resources, especially in Central Africa. But the storage capacities are very low, except a few countries. I totally agree that water storage should be increased in Africa. So I can say by numbers, like if I talk about more about water storage per capita, we assess per capita water storage considering only the large dams because of the data limitation. So in that case, I think Ghana has scored the top. It has a huge capacity of water storage, followed by Zimbabwe, Zambia, especially Zimbabwe, Zambia, because there are large reservoirs. But other than those few countries, other countries has very low level of water storage, especially about the large dams, which are built for the water irrigation and hydropower, water supply, such functions.
Well, it's not easy even when they are built because, for example, we find out that Ethiopia is building the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, or GERD. It's the biggest hydroelectric project in Africa. It just began producing electricity in late February this year. And yet some see it as a potential source for a water war, potentially with Egypt. What do you think?
Actually, in our assessment, Egypt came as the most water-dependent country. Same time, it is the most water-secure country in Africa. So that shows the difference. Like, of course, because we have assessed the water dependence separately.
There are changes in rainfall in some African regions due to climate change, and the continent is probably heating up. I was surprised not to see more about climate change in this assessment.
Actually, we have it. We consider it in the disaster risk because climate change, it impacts us most likely disaster. It can be either mostly in Africa, it can be either floods and drought. We included that one as an index indicator 9, which shows the disaster risk index. It calculates the exposure and vulnerability and their capacities of different countries for the disaster. Indirectly, we measure the climate change. And almost all the countries, disaster risk has increased within those 5 years.
And some African countries don't have an accurate census. They don't know how many people are in the country, much less statistics on water access. How did the experts behind this report make up for that lack of data?
Actually, that is the most challenging part we faced. Actually, we emphasize that one very clearly in the report also. Lack of data is a big problem in Africa, and it made us this job very challenging. So to overcome this issue, we added some strategies. Like we, for an example, for the water quality, it is the least recorded data in Africa for us. I mean, in this assessment, we found that. And then to overcome that one, we tried several proxies. At the end, we used the wastewater treatment percentage as a proxy to water quality. We tried, for an example, we tried another source like lake water quality, application of fertilizer, those kind of things we tried. But at the end, we had to go with wastewater treatment percentage as a proxy to water quality. That is one of the strategy we adopted. It based on the indicators. Some indicators we could find enough data, but some indicators we couldn't find. So if in our assessment, if there are 54 countries, at least 50% of those countries doesn't have such data, then we had to drop that indicator. So we had to develop another indicator. Like that, mainly in our report, we extracted data from Sustainable Development Goal because they have a Goal 6 for the water. So most of the data are recorded for the SDG 6, but it is not enough. That is the big problem in Africa. I think that should be another indicator, how they record data, because this connected with other global agendas. As you mentioned, the Sustainable Development Goals, Sendai Framework for Disaster Risk Management, all need data to assess, because at the end of 2030, if the target is to measure the success of achieving those goals, the measurement of those goals will be based on data. If you don't have data, we cannot measure the success, so or the progress at least. So then I think from now on, we have to clearly kind of emphasize the importance of data collection, not only collection, monitoring, collection, and storage and sharing. Those things are very, very important.
The Economist is one of several sources projecting Africa's population will double by 2050. Even as it is now, we're in trouble and progress is slow and even not happening in some countries. Is it too harsh to say Africa's water security problems can never be solved without population control as well?
This rate of progress, it is hardly achieve 2030 goals. So if the population is increasing, their water demand, water stress is rapidly increased, and then the economical strength of those countries will be a challenging to spend on this kind of infrastructure for the water supply, drainage, storage, those kind of things. So I think I can incline with your suggestion. Yes, it's really a challenge.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex. Our guest is Dr. Tuminda Pereira, co-author of the new United Nations University report, Water Security in Africa, a Preliminary Assessment. Research by the Pacific Institute suggests water wars are less likely between African countries. They tend to work things out, but it may show up in ethnic or clan clashes within countries, perhaps a civil war or attempts at genocide. Does the new assessment suggest anything about the security situation when it comes to water scarcity?
Not directly, but indirectly, we have assessed the governance. It includes how they manage water, and also we assess the water dependency and water physiography. Like in the water dependency is not actually, it is how they depend on the water resources from outside. not only the internal water. So actually, other than the measurement of water governance, we did not consider the security or kind of internal conflicts. These kind of things we did not include. Actually, that is a very good suggestion for the future assessment, because this is a very primary assessment. We did the initiative. I think it's time for the region or the African policymakers and the governments to think about this situation seriously and adding more indicators and improve this tool, because this is really important but very good initiative.
In 2019, Ahmad Hassan and colleagues published their paper, Assessment of Physical Water Scarcity in Africa, using GRACE and TRMM satellite data. Did you use satellite data in this new UN assessment?
To keep it open and transparent and clear, so we used only the publicly available data, and of course those satellite imagery data we did not use, because we have to make it very simple and very straightforward way.
When we think about these problems, we ask ourselves, well, who is supposed to fix this? Is this a United Nations problem, multinational banks, the former colonial countries, all of us? I know this isn't part of your report, but you must admit that's the first question that comes to mind. Who's going to help with this?
Exactly. So from our side, we show the issue, but now without solving this one, no point of showing the problem. So I think from now on, as a region, I think they have more responsibility, especially for the African countries' government, to implement and the outcome of this report. Especially they can start with collecting data, and then how to improve their monitoring and storing and sharing. Those are very important. I think in Africa there are a lot of UN agencies are working on different aspects of development, so they can also work on together to improve the water status in Africa. Other than that, I think in African Development Bank and African Union Development Agency, they also have a big role to play on this, other than like World Bank or United Nations specifically. They also have a major role in improve the water security status in Africa.
I think we'll also see China as a major player. They're doing a lot of investment in Africa. Now, Duminda, when we break down these big numbers, we're talking about hundreds of millions of people, to a personal level, when we think of each person, this has to be one of the saddest assessments I've read in a long time. And I think the problem that you really point to is we're not even ready to figure out who's going to fix this and how much it will cost, because we've barely got a grasp on how big the problem is. And that's what you're trying to get at. How big is this problem?
I think this problem affects more than 50% of the population in Africa in more or less in different angles. It can be somebody will not have enough drinking water. Somebody may have not sanitation facilities. Some may have not enough water for the irrigation. Some may have facing floods and droughts for their industries or living. So it is multidimensional and multisectorial. And in the personal level, I think water is a human right. So water is everybody's life, depend on. So it is everybody's problem. It is a big population live there, and their population growth is about 2% or 2.5, I think, like that. So it is, at the end, it is not only the governments, not only the donors, or not only the investors, but also there is another part can play a big role, is the academia or the researchers. So like that, we also tried our best to produce this report. Now, I think another part is like exploring for the new water resources available, especially like groundwater. Groundwater is a big source resource there. And the water use efficiency is one of the limited progress in the water use efficiency also, because that is, if they improve the water use efficiency, that is also one solution to overcome the water scarcity. And like that way, the policymakers, international organizations, donors, academia, and professional, and the citizens, I think everybody has to work together to show some significant progress by 2030.
from Ontario, Canada. We've been speaking with Dr. Dominda Pereira. He is with the United Nations University. You can learn about this urgent water problem in Africa. Search for Water Security in Africa, a preliminary assessment, or find a link in my blog at ecoshock.org. Dominda, thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you very much, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. That's it for this show. Check out all our past programs free at ecoshock.org. Thank you for listening, and let's meet up again next week.